The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network where sports betting lives. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DraftKings Network, live from the Barrage Bar Canada here at the D. What's happening, man?
Not much.
Football Friday. You
Football
ready?
Football Friday. Love it. Matt Brown back in action.
Yes.
It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas around here.
Did we evict Matt Brown last week for Aaron Schatz, or was that just a coincidence?
No, just coincidence.
Okay. Just curious. All right.
I don't know what he was doing.
Okay. But, Matt Brown.
Matt Brown doing Matt Brown things.
Full NFL. Matt Brown's got Matt Brown things to do. But he's going to do our thing this morning for the first hour. We'll talk nothing but NFL with Matt, all his bets. We'll talk some college football with the Bear, Chris Velika. Chris Velika underwent a little surgery. He's recovering, so he's back in the saddle with us today.
I actually was going to tell you this off air. I feel kind of bad. I hope Chris is not feeling pressured to do this at all, because he did answer me that he would love to come on.
Oh no, he's good. He's like hurling insults again on text. He's good.
But I was checking the. I was listening to the Great Bear Bets podcast the way in, which he was not a part of.
He wasn't.
Yeah, he was not a part of.
So oh wow.
I was like, I hope Chris is feeling okay.
Well, you know, it's the Bear Bets pod, and then there's us. So you know, it's being kind of coming on.
Hey, Chris, if you're listening right now, this is what I always say: you didn't make a single mistake on this week's pod. Not a single mistake.
Not a one. Dr. Bob will join us, Jason Weingarten. You know the drill on Fridays. We were supposed to, little disclaimer here before we get to the game from last night and our NFL thoughts, we were supposed to have Sean Perry on the show this morning, who's one of the 10 remaining contestants, one of the 10 remaining guys in control or gals or in control of the 10 remaining entries in Circus Survivor, the $9.267 million contest. I did not have any communication with him, but Kelly did. Here is your update.
Yeah, Sean agreed to come on earlier in the week and then decided to pass late last night. So
okay. He
will not be on with us today.
Okay.
We wish him the best of luck. I hope nothing came up serious or anything like that. But, we got late notice. He will not be on the show.
That's nice of you to worry about if something came up.
You never know what people's
lives.
Worried
for his welfare. Right?
Yeah, you never know what people's lives.
Very nice of you. Okay. So we don't have him on today. So we'll just wanted to pass that on because we had promised him earlier in the week. As far as that football game last night, Rams 30, Saints 22. Rams get the money in a game, by the way, 30-22. That's not nearly as close as the final score indicates, where, in case you missed it real quick, because there are tentacles to talk about from this outcome, the Rams, 14-play, 94-yard drive the first time they got a hold of it, a 7-minute 56 second drive where Stafford went to Puka from two out on fourth and goal from the two to make it 7-0 late in the second quarter. New Orleans' thing last night was they were going to be aggressive. They decided whenever they got a fourth down and manageable, they were going to go for it. And they did on their next drive, fourth and five at the Rams 39. Carr was sacked by Kobe Turner. Haversick knocked in a field goal after that to make it 10-0. Then, by the way, Haversick missed a 47-yard field goal. And at this point in the game, this is second quarter now, the Rams are doubling up the Saints in total yardage. They're only leading 10-0. And then the Saints did matriculate three plays, 63 yards, Carr to Shaheed for 45. And all of a sudden, it was 10-7 Rams. That's it, with 2:28 left in the second quarter. And there was a moment there after the Rams went three and out where you said, wow, are the Rams going to botch this? That's when New Orleans had a fourth and five at the Rams 42 with a minute left in the half, where Carr went incomplete intended for Juwan Johnson. And the Rams took over at their own 42 with 56 seconds left in the second quarter. And they went five plays and 58 yards in a grand total of 35 seconds, Stafford to DeMarcus Robinson from four out, to go up 17-7 at the half. And that was really the moment in the game where it shifted for good in favor of the Rams.
Yep.
Now,
it felt like the whole first half was almost building up to that anyways.
Yes.
But, like, yeah, you got to halftime, and it was, okay, Rams have taken control.
Now, I know you all thought I was crazy with this whole Puka Nacua thing, and we'll get to this momentarily. But at this point in the game, Stafford was 13 of 13 for 171 and two touchdowns when targeting Robinson, Nacua, and Higbee. For those who have not been part of my Rams rants earlier this year, the need of Matthew Stafford, and to some degree Sean McVay, to force the ball to Cooper Kupp has really actually hampered the Rams this year. If you watch them time and time again, it really has been a thing where Puka could have 15 catches a game if they would just go to him. Instead, like last night, Cup gets the most targets, not the most efficient way to go about things. Anyway, third quarter on a drive that featured Stafford to Nacua for 41, and then Stafford missing a wide-open Nacua for what would have been an easy touchdown. They settle for a Haversick 22-yard field goal, 20-7 Rams. A little later, it was 27-7 Rams because because Carr was picked by Jordan Fuller. That set up the Rams on a short field. Five plays, 41 yards. Kyren in from 10. That made it 27-7. And then another, the third and final fourth down that the Saints tried. Fourth and seven at the Rams, in Rams territory. Carr to Juwan Johnson. I think they needed 7 yards, as I said. Instead, they went to Juwan Johnson for 3, which is just vintage Derek Carr at that point. Like, no one who needs 7 yards goes better for 3 yards than Derek Carr does in those situations. Haversick would add a field goal, 30-7. And then late in the game, and you're wondering, well, how did this become cosmetically 30-22? Saints went on a 12-play, 75-yard drive. Carr to Johnson from 5 outs, make it 30-14. Then the Rams got a punt blocked. 2 plays, 35 yards. Carr to A.T. Perry for 35. That made it 30-22 after the two-point conversion to Olave. Then Nacua recovered the onside kick. He got a first down that effectively ended the game. It was officially over when the Saints jumped off sides. Neutral zone infraction, I should say. And that's how it ended. And so, by the way, Adam Schefter chiming in. In 2012, Calvin Johnson set the NFL single-season record with 1,984 receiving yards. His quarterback was Matthew Stafford. In 2021, Cooper Kupp had the second most receiving yards in a single season in NFL history with 1,947. His quarterback was and still is Matthew Stafford. Puka Nacua now needs just 147 yards in his final two games to set the record for most receiving yards by a rookie in NFL history. His quarterback is Matthew Stafford. Stafford was 24 of 34 for 328 last night. Kyren, by the way, Kyren Williams, 22 for 104 and a touchdown on the ground. Puka, I had been saying all week, and let's talk about these two awards. Two. First of all, the Rams in general. The Rams now are minus 200 to make the playoffs. They are, and by the way, the Saints are minus 300 not to make the playoffs, though they're in a division where they could still do it.
Yeah.
But the Rams, with apologies to the Seahawks, the Rams pretty much look like the fifth best team in the NFC behind the Niners, Eagles, Cowboys, and Lions. They also, now because of the divisional format of the postseason, they'll currently, and this could be the case 2 weeks from now, they're currently slotted as the sixth seed, obviously because of that division format. And so it right now, if the playoffs were to start, and this could really, it's likely that it works out this way based on schedule, you could have a Stafford versus Goff first-round game, a trade that happened almost exactly 3 years ago, 3 years, 3 years minus a month. It'll be closer to exactly 3 years if that game ever happens, when it happens. So that's an interesting possibility in the postseason with the Rams going to Detroit and it being a Stafford-Goff referendum. The Rams look great, and they look like a team that could pull off a first-round.
Absolutely.
Playoff upset. They really do.
I was just going to say, this is the team, like, we've been kind of getting there with them these past couple weeks. They were up there in my power rankings this week. It's the...
Yeah, you had them top 10. That's right.
I think they've got the stamp now of what we were talking about with the Buffalo Bills 2 weeks ago of who do you not want to see in the NFC in the playoffs? It's the Bills and the AFC, but we've even gotten beyond that point because I think they're one of the favorites to actually come out of the AFC, in my opinion, right now. The Rams, just with that offense, you don't want to see them.
Yeah.
I don't want to go up against them in that first round of the playoffs just because they can hang 30 on you. I think they can hang 30 on just about anybody with this core of offensive players they got going right now. So I think that's a scary team to run into in the playoffs.
As far as Nacua, Puka Nacua, I had said all week he needs to average 6 catches and 104 yards the remaining 3 games to break both the rookie marks for receptions and receiving yards. Well, last night, he had 9 for 164 and a touchdown. By the way, with fewer targets than Kupp, as I mentioned. He now only needs 9 catches and 148 yards over 2 weeks at the Giants and at the Niners to break both records, or, if you want to put it in average, 4.5 catches and 74 yards. The broadcast did a terrible job last night, an amateurish job. They never once brought up either of those two marks. Instead, waiting till late in the fourth quarter to bring up some nebulous, of receivers in their rookie year who's had receivers in their rookie years who've had 140-plus receiving yards. This was his fourth, one shy of that record. He's about to set the record in both categories. And yes, the number crashed a bit yesterday. So C.J. Stroud went from minus 10,000 to minus 2,500 at DraftKings. Puka Nacua is now at 8-1 after having been 20-1 in the Offensive Rookie of the Year market. And again, my point the whole time has been, if Nacua breaks both records and C.J. Stroud ends up missing the last four of the games and the fifth game before that, he was terrible. I don't think he's the Offensive Rookie of the Year if you miss or play poorly. Sadly, because of being in concussion protocol or just playing poorly, I don't think you are the Offensive Rookie of the Year if you miss over a quarter of the season that way. The other category to bring up, pardon me on the voice, the other category to bring up, by the way, shame on the broadcast for not bringing up these two records for Nacua. It was ridiculous.
Yeah,
by the way, Nacua down to 6-1 at Advocate Battle.
Yeah, I was just going to bring it up.
Yeah.
He's as short as 6-1. Yep.
The other thing is Comeback Player of the Year. This is one of these things where we're really close to the sun, right? Damar Hamlin's been a prohibitive favorite for as long as we can remember. The shortest shot beyond him is Matthew Stafford now. Matthew Stafford, who missed eight games last year. He only played in nine. He missed eight games last year primarily because of a spinal cord contusion. He's going to throw for over 4,000 yards this year. He's 23-9 in terms of touchdowns and picks. Might we be too close to the sun? Might Matthew Stafford be the guy waiting in the weeds for Comeback Player of the Year? Is that a thing? You think?
I think it's possible for sure.
I'm just saying. Matt Brown is here, ladies and gentlemen, and he is festive. Happy holidays to all. Matt Brown on the NFL next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to check out VSiN's betting splits but don't have a VSiN Pro subscription yet? You better hurry. Today's the final day we're giving everyone access to the betting splits for free. Matt, you excited about that?
I love it.
The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action but future events as well. Get free access to VSiN's betting splits all this week at VSiN.com/splits. That's VSIN.com/splits. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so nice of you to hang with us this Friday morning, as always. For those of you who don't know this, and I don't know if this has ever come up on the show, but I was not raised celebrating Christmas, and yet I seem to know every lyric to every Christmas song and every Christmas reference there is, which I cannot say for my buddy Kelly Bidlin here. And the reason this comes up is because Matt Brown joins us with his Fragile sweater. Not fragile, Fragile from the great Christmas classic Christmas Story.
Kelly,
how you
didn't
doing,
get it,
man? Kelly didn't get it.
He didn't get it. I had to Google the picture as you were doing the read and show him, like, does this ring a bell or
that's
or what?
The best Christmas movie there ever is, I think.
I think so.
It's the greatest. You've never seen Christmas Story?
Oh, I've seen it multiple times. I think it's awful.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you?
Well,
I do not think it stood the test of time. I do not think that. I don't think it holds up.
Did the parents hug you enough as a child?
Oh, yeah. I got great parents. Yeah, okay.
Maybe it was
Home Alone.
I don't know. Maybe
best Christmas movie of all time.
Let's not do this again.
Oh, boy.
Oh, here we go.
Oh,
by the way, Matt Brown, everybody, for those who don't know, the host of the All Angles podcast, which he does three times a week, and, of course, The Handle, which he does with Mike Somich, 7 p.m. weekends here at the network. How you doing, man? Merry Christmas to you.
Doing well, and the same to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Obviously, we don't have to wish him Merry Christmas.
And the same to you. Good start to the week last night, so I'm ready to rock and roll.
You were on the ramifications last night?
Rams and over Kyren Williams' rush attempts.
Kelly had
yards.
Kelly had yards, right?
But both got home.
Both got home.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Hit a 35-1 same game parlay.
Nice.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was the same game parlay?
Rams over Stafford over 200 yards. Carr over 200 yards. Kyren Williams alt over 20 plus carries. Kyren Williams. Oh, this one came down to the wire. The alt over 100 plus yards. which needed to be done
yes,
on that.
That needed to be done.
Needed to be done on that last little bit, and then Higbee 25 plus receiving.
Oh, the Higbee one is a nice little twist. Sean McVay's got your back on getting Kyron those carries and those.
I was
those
wondering
yards.
If like Kyron was going to walk over to him and say like, "Man, I'm only 10 yards from 100." Just so you know, I'm only 10 yards from 100 because I'm sitting there going like, "Am I really going to lose this thing?" Because he's going to sit out this last thing and not get the last 10 yards. But yeah, no, that was fun.
Good for you. Let me ask you two questions that we just brought up here before the break, talking about this. One, the notion that Matthew Stafford now is beyond Damar Hamlin, the shortest shot for comeback player of the year. Could he actually, because the most interesting, Aaron Schatz said a lot of interesting things. He's one of 50 voters for all these awards last week. And one of the more interesting things that he said was, you know, for MVP, because I brought up, hey, Purdy might win it just by getting the most second place votes. He's like, you're absolutely right. But with comeback player of the year, and I think his point was sound, which was he's not voting for Hamlin. And his point, because there's 1, 2, 3 for comeback player of the year, his point was Hamlin's either your number one, talking about Damar Hamlin, of course, of the Buffalo Bills, who nearly died on the field last year and has made one tackle this year. He said if he's not your number one, he's probably not on your ballot at all. So might Stafford, do you think that's realistic?
I mean,
or do you have no idea? Because it's okay to say that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, my personal opinion would be there's going to be just too many people that vote Damar. And listen, if I had a vote, I would probably do it too because it just feels right. You know,
me
I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like it just feels
by
right.
By the way, that's a great point. Because what if it got out afterwards?
Yeah, that you were the dude that left him off.
Right? Because Jason Weingarten tried to shame Kelly when Kelly was like, Mets, you can't win. And Jason immediately launched into, really? So let the record show that Kelly Bidlin thinks that 7 catches after having leukemia is not enough, right? Yeah. So, like, there could be that human element too, right?
I was at least beating the drum that he at least needed to play some snaps.
Yes.
Like, it couldn't just be like, oh, he made the roster, right?
I said he just had to show up on a field. Kelly amended it to, no, he has to make one tackle. And he got exactly one tackle.
I think the other part of it, too, is it's what Matt's saying. And then it's whenever you and I have discussed the others, it's how do you compare some of these cases? You know what I mean?
Like, you can't. It's a ridiculous
comeback player of the year. It's comparing what happened a year ago, the injury you suffered, and what you've done
It's a ridiculous conversation, and I only bring it up because we saw Stafford play last night, and he's the shortest shot beyond him. The other one is my theory of, and it has changed in the market after last night, and could change further after this weekend. But C.J. Stroud, sadly, is in concussion protocol, is not going to play. This will be the second straight week he didn't play. The week before, when he got hurt, he had a terrible game against the Jets. That's 3 games. We got 2 games left. If he were not to play the rest of the way or play poorly, and by the way, Will Hill had a great theory of if the Texans are knocked out of it by week 18, then there won't be any reason to have him play week 18. If he doesn't play for over a quarter of the season and Puka breaks both the receptions and the rookie receiving yards records, isn't he the rookie? Isn't he live for rookie of the year?
Well, here's the thing. The precedent has already been set last year because Jalen Hurts lost the MVP because of injury.
Yeah.
He was going to run away with it, and then he got hurt and didn't play those 3 games, and that was it. And it went a different direction. And so it's unfortunate, as you just said.
It is.
It's incredibly unfortunate.
No one loves C.J. Stroud more than I do. He's been profusely for the draft.
The precedent has already been set, right? I mean, last year, Jalen Hurts was cruising to the MVP. He got hurt in the critical stretch where, hey, it's not how you get hurt, when you get hurt. You know, like, oh, it's the end of the season. Well, that matters more. You know, it's kind of like in the college football, right? It's not when you lose. It's all about when you lose. And so I think it's the same deal here. I mean, I truly believe that Puka, especially after last night's game, where the announcers were just all over Puka,
and yet never mentioned that he could break both records, not once.
But it was, I mean, it was it. That was a great Puka kind of coming out game for people who maybe had not paid attention to a West Coast team or whatever it might be, because the announcers at least were saying
yes
over and over again what a huge piece of the team he was.
How many times did Herb Street say, and he's really big too?
Yeah.
Over and over.
You think you hear a name like Puka Nacua, you think he's a 5'8" scat pack, whatever. And it's like, no, he's a 6'2" wide receiver.
Al Michaels breaking out the shakes of the lamb's tail, like all of these old references that Kirk has to like awkwardly laugh through. Anyway, again, Puka down to 8-1 in offensive rookie of the year at DraftKings, and as low as 6-1 at Advocate Battle.
I was flipping around through so many NBA games last night, yet I still caught at least like three references to his build, including that Scat Back one.
How about those Pistons, by the way?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
All right.
Get ready to center
it. You guys want to rehash your Pistons are going to be in the playoffs within 2 years conversation from primetime
action? I mean, it's really tough. I'm just going to look away from Kill because they've got the talent. They've got a really good coach, Matt. It just still doesn't make sense. No outside shooting. That's the problem.
The on-court stuff does not make sense, though. That's for sure.
Fragile, would you like to give your first pick before the break here?
Sure. Let's start with a game that's going to be happening tomorrow in Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. I am on Cincinnati at 2.
Like it.
You can still find 2.5s out there, so this is not a completely dead number, but listen, I can admit when I'm wrong. I did not think Browning was going to be any good. I thought this was going to be a complete disaster. I was actually advocating for Listen, if T. Higgins walks at the end of the year, I was kind of advocating for the Bengals just to lose out. You get one of those kind of top 12-ish picks, and then you can just replace T. Higgins with one of these, you know, receivers that are coming in the draft. That's not going to be the case.
Do you know anybody who was like, oh, this is going to be good with Jake Browning?
It didn't seem like it anyway, right? And I understand Chase isn't going to play in this game, but I don't think it's really going to matter with the Steelers. If you look at Browning since week 12, he is behind only Brock Purdy in EPA and completion percentage over expected. Only Brock Purdy is ahead of Jake Browning since he took over as starter in the league, and then now we go to Mason Rudolph, right? And I mean, look, Mason Rudolph started 8 games in 2019, so the team got a look at him, right?
Yeah.
And then they chose, no, we're going to draft Pickett. We're going to start Trubisky. Remember this, like he didn't even start when they were kind of breaking in Pickett. They went Trubisky over this guy. Like he has been so not good in camp and through the coach's eyes that he has not been able to even make the spot starts and all of that. They went back to Trubisky again this year whenever they had to put another quarterback in. So this is kind of the bottom of the barrel third option thing here with Mason Rudolph. And so I'm not worried about the fact that Cincinnati's defense certainly has fallen off of a cliff since last year. I mean, it was one of those that was trending way up the end of the year, and we were kind of like, oh, wow, what are they going to look like next year? And it was just more of the same. But I'm not worried about the Steelers being the team to exploit them. I'm just really not. I mean, if you look, they were not able to do anything with their starter. They were not able to do anything with their backup. And then here comes their third string, and now we're going to magically think that this is going to be the turning point for them. I'm not there with all of this. And if you're ever going to miss a wide receiver one, how about Cincinnati being able to go to T. Higgins, being able to go to Tyler Boyd? I mean, that's a really good kind of backup plan.
Sure is. We're simpatico on that one. Kelly and I will give our picks later, but I landed on the Bengals too. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't want the, you know, that Steelers mystique of figuring out a way to win games. Mm-hmm. I just refuse to let that pollute the handicap.
Yeah. I'll be rooting with you, boys. I don't have a bet on the Bengals, but I got season win totals to sweat on the on the Steelers.
Let's go.
Let's go Bengals.
And again, if you're scoring at home, which I know you are, Steelers got to go 1-1-1 the rest of the way to keep the great Mike Tomlin never having had a losing season streak alive. We'll see. By the way, if the Steelers want to keep that alive, they better win this one. We'll come back. More Matt Brown and his NFL thoughts. Week 16, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All I want for the holidays this year is some NBA action. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from JD. Just got in on the Niners to beat the Bills exacta. Let's go, baby. This from Jockstein. He said, do you guys think there's anything, not just asking me, but also Crack and Cleave and Shine, do you guys think there's anything to home teams playing on Christmas/Thanksgiving being a bit more distracted and not as focused as they should be, whereas the road team is away from it all? Jockstein, it's Jay Cockstein. He says, you know, different name. Thing or not a thing, I think it's one of those things that we have confirmation bias on when it happens, right?
Yeah.
I think when the home team performs poorly, then we say, oh, they must have been distracted. But I don't think it's a thing, and I think if you actually went into a database and actually looked, you'd find that it's not a thing.
See, it's funny because I think I have a similar response with different. I'm going to say thing, but I can't quantify it for you whatsoever.
Yeah. Buddhist man, Matt Brown's sweater proves one thing for certain, that Kelly unlike the leg lamp, is obviously not Italian.
But I think factual.
I believe Italian was pronounced differently. Matthew Mayberry. Oh, my God. Bidlin and Human should 100% have a show together. I don't know what the hell to call it, but it'd be a great watch. Angriest Guy in Kentucky. Don't tell me the broadcast came up short last night. I'm shocked. Jay Buckley, Billingsley, Vince Vaughn, and Sebastian Maniscalco did a Wild West comedy tour special many years back. Have a great holiday, guys. Oh, thank you for that. And Nemesis Enforcer, any chance that Billingsley dude is related to Barbara Billingsley of Leave It to Beaver fame? I do not know.
Yeah, direct that question to Wes Reynolds, please.
Yeah, Wes Reynolds would know.
Wes has got you.
Wes
would
be
promised.
Like, well, everybody knows. You know, he always his thing. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. He was in attendance at SoFi last night of the Rams' victory over the Saints. So, too, was Shohei Ohtani. And all I thought to myself was, is Jason going to figure out a way to say hello? And the answer is Jason Weingarten.
I actually had a field pass yesterday before the game. Excuse my hair. It looks a little weird there.
Oh, it's lovely.
I had a field pass for the game, but I was stuck in traffic. I didn't get there. So the great Jason Shohei Ohtani meeting will have to take place another day.
How do you think that would have gone, Jason? Walk me through that. How would that have gone?
I would have screamed like a girl. Now, I probably would have just been like, hey, you're Shohei Ohtani. And he would have been like, yeah, and you're... You're some dude, you know. Like, it would be very anticlimactic.
Would you have brought up the money he has made you? Would you have brought that up? No, you wouldn't have brought that up.
I'd be like, cool. You
were at the game, so you didn't see this, but you know, there was Shohei in his Dodgers garb, and it was like. It was as if the Angels never existed, right? Like, it was the most dismissive thing of a franchise you'll ever see in your life. Like, here's Shohei, the great arrival in Los Angeles. And you're like, wasn't he just in Los Angeles for several years before? It's very awkward.
Anyway. Yeah, could have done this any time over the past. You could have given him a Rams jersey any time over the past 5 years. Just now he's a Dodger, so it matters.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. He was in the Rams jersey.
You guys were talking about naming shows, though. It's one of the hardest things. I have a great name for a show. If I ever do a show again, I was talking to Preston.
Yeah.
We have a great name for a show.
Are you allowed to say it on air? Can you say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be called Two Losers. Because then everyone could be like, I'm listening to these two losers.
Oh.
And it'd be a great name. Everyone would know it. I think it's the perfect name for a sports radio talk show.
Two losers. Bearded losers.
I'm listening to these two losers again.
Preston, how can I put this? Not a loser. Let's just
exactly.
Put that in
but,
life. Yes.
But it's great. It's a great name.
Yeah. How's he doing, by the way? I got to talk to Preston. Is things going well with the soccer team? Is he? Has it transformed?
Yeah, you know, there's a big old game this week. I think Boxing Day is a big deal over there. So, you know, we're right around the playoff. You know, you got to be top seven to make playoffs or whatever. So we're right around like floating between 7th and 11th. It's it's a slog, but going in the right direction.
Is there fear? So there's no fear of relegation to a lower league? None of that?
No. Last year, you know, it was literally coming down to the last couple of games of the season. This year, it looks more like, you know, more realistically an outside shot of a playoff, you know, appearance as opposed to chance of relegation.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, our buddy Preston Johnson, who used to be on this show all the time, but, you know, more famously, he was on Daily Wager on ESPN for a period of time. He is the owner of Crawley Town.
England League Two.
League Two. And so
bottom of the EPL pyramid, but... You know, still in the pyramid.
Still in the pyramid. And so, you know, before we get to some of your plays here, Jason.
Sports Cheetah on Twitter. For
Sports Cheetah.
Sports betting Twitter
who's been
forever.
In gambling Twitter.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, Sports Cheetah for many years. And the nicest guy in the world. And one of these guys when success happens to, you have nothing but joy for in life. Just a great guy. And I think about the Ryan Reynolds doc. Mm-hmm. Jason, and I feel like Ryan Reynolds stole your guys' idea and story. That should have been you guys doing this.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's buying soccer teams right now. It's the super popular.
Yeah, Kelly and I.
It's the racehorse investment of this era.
Kelly and I were just going to buy one today, as a matter of fact. You're just saying that. You're like, everyone's buying
one. Ryan Reynolds is super famous and super cool. And, yeah. You know, I like, can't say anything really like bad about him, right?
Oh, no, he's great. Like, he's awesome. Who doesn't love Ryan Reynolds?
Jason's
yeah.
right,
probably going to get promoted, too. You know, it's a great story.
Wrexham.
Like, did I see J.J. Watt? Like, or the Watt brothers own a piece of a team?
Jason's right. Everybody finds soccer. Yeah. I don't know. They're like tax. They're basically like tax write-offs or something.
Some financial advice from Jason in the next segment. All right. What did you play week 16 in the NFL beyond last night?
We hit the over last night, so padding my record as the winningest guest in recent history. Add another to the tally. I like the 12.5 with the Bills. That's a big number to lay, but what do you like with the Chargers here? I get the whole spot, you know, the coaching change and everything, but starting to lay the 12.5 here with Easton Stick does not impress me as an NFL quarterback. Besides that, a little later in the afternoon and on Monday, actually going straight to Monday, I like the Giants here. Can I interest you in the Giants money line at over 6-1 on Christmas Day?
Not so much, but okay.
Not so much, but like I don't, you know, which favorite is coming out flat on Christmas? It's not going to be the 49ers, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
It's probably not going to be the Chiefs against the Raiders. I'm certainly not taking, you know, holding my nose with the Raiders here.
I'm not laying the points either, so I'm certainly not against
you. I'm taking the 13.5 with the Giants. I'm playing the money line smaller. Like I said, last time I was on, I like the Cowboys 1.5. I see it's moving to some ones. Other than that, my main thing is not ruining Christmas for everybody by losing all my money.
Jason,
that's my card. It's a slow weekend for me. I don't even have any college bets.
College bowl season is just a different animal now. It's just a completely different animal.
Pre-Christmas bowls, like I can't even get into them. It was great. It felt like a growth moment, like a growing up moment.
Yeah.
The Old Dominion game, the crazy comeback. I had no money on it. I had no position. I was like, oh wow, you guys are sweating out a Monday morning football game, and I don't have to worry about any of this. I felt like I was growing up a little bit.
Well, I did have Western Kentucky plus 534, and it was this great bookend to a horrible beat from 9 years ago in the Bahamas Bowl with them, where I was on them and got beat. But generally speaking, I mean, I don't have a single preflop, and I remember as recently as 2 years ago, me and my Texas baseball buddies, right? Porras and the boys, we'd be at the Aria betting every single one of these games on the opening day of college football. And now, with everything that's happening, I mean, what Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey started so many years ago, now with transfer portals and like, it's just mayhem. And so, yeah, they're just from a preflop perspective. I totally get it. Is there anything random sports-wise that you have in your account right now that you have a bet on?
Not much, because there's not much going on internationally. It's all sort of quiet right now. There's no crazy golf. It's really one of my favorite times of the year because my schedule kind of quiets a little bit. I still have a whole bunch of other stuff to do. I'm actually shipping a painting to Switzerland after this today. So always crazy stuff going on.
Wait a minute. You're shipping a painting to Switzerland?
Yeah, someone in Switzerland bought one of the paintings I have, and I got to go and crack it out of the frame today and pack it and styrofoam and send it off to Switzerland.
Oh, now, I remember when you bought these paintings. Who's the artist again, Jason?
Wesley Willis.
Yes, Wesley Willis. Oh, okay. That's right.
So is this another post office day for you, Jason, or does this require something more?
No, I get to go to the UPS for this one.
Okay, got it.
I did get yelled at by the supervisor, though, a couple days ago.
Oh, why did you start with that?
Party deep fingernails, like asking a federal employee to do any work other than the bare minimum, man, you get yelled at.
Okay.
Oh, not the story. I'll tell you next week.
There's a tease. Thank you, Jason. Merry Christmas. Jason Weingarten, everybody. That's Spreadopedia. Kelly and me with our bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking to bet smarter, then VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today and get unlimited access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, 24/7 video, plus all our betting guides and best bets for all College Bowl games, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out on this limited time holiday offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. And thank you sincerely from me and from Kelly. You are the best listeners of any show, any place ever in the history of Earth. I really believe that.
I didn't even get to tell you this off air before you get to tweets. You know, I got text messages from two different people at the Boca Bowl last night.
The Del Boca Vista Bowl?
Who were with fans of the show that texted in. Texted in. Yeah, just happened to piece together that, you know, me and being back there and everything. So, yeah, it's awesome when we get that kind of stuff. We love it. Happy holidays to everybody.
The best one was, I think last week I was in a CVS and some dude rolled up on me. He's like, what are you getting? I love the show. He was super nice.
Awesome.
I had to go too. I was like, just try to be some polite about it. He was the greatest ever. Someone at Crystals over there in random places too, and it's always great. But there's the listeners to the show, and all these tweets are great. X Prime, what was the Golden Boy pick this week? We don't know. He said, so I can fade it. He said, Golden Boy's the modern-day Scrooge McDuck, he said. He don't want to. Michael Burns is pointing out that somebody just sold their Brock Purdy MVP ticket for $125K on PropSwap that would win him $200,000, because it's a 2K at 100-1. So someone who has a 100-1 Brock Purdy MVP ticket just sold it for $125,000 on PropSwap.
I don't hate it, Gil. I mean, when things that aren't settled on the field.
Yeah, man, I'll take it.
Right?
Yeah, sure. Bob Petrillo, happy holidays, Gil, to you and the crew, from a longtime listener. I'm coming out the first week of NFL season next September, and I hope to stop and say hello. I'm the gentleman that went through the same experience after surgery that you did with your Achilles. Thanks. Bob, I'm glad you made it. Both of us had a massive pulmonary embolism and almost bit it. Mm. After our Achilles surgery due to a blood clot. J4E doubled down on Puka Offensive Rookie of the Year last night during the game at 12-1 and dropped to 8-1 overnight. Thanks, my guy. Let's hope we get there. And this is, okay, I won't even read that one. But yes, Jason went off on something that I was like, okay, let's move it on. And one of those employees had something to say to Jason. You have every right to say that back. I also want to thank, before we get into our picks, that Kelly and I didn't get a chance to give our picks this weekend in the NFL. I just want to thank everybody on the crew here that has come to the D. As you know, we were at the South Point for many, many years, 6.5 years. With my Mishpucha, Chrissy, and all of us were over there, not just this show, but others. And we made the transition over here to the D. And whenever you make a transition like that, it's never an easy thing from a technical standpoint. You know, Kelly and I, we just show up and we're like, hey, what's happening?
I do that every morning.
Yeah, Kelly, every morning. He's like, hey, what's happening? I'm like, okay, enough with the hey, what's happening? But everybody behind the scenes does such a great job of making this happen technically, starting with the Kenjineer, Ken, at the very top, of course. And Dez, I hope they're doing well, by the way. But for those who are specifically on this show, if not every day, more often than not, Matt Hicks, Dakota Martin, Sean McCollum, who could forget the great Sean McCollum, Reggie Edwards, Reg was just out here, Jeremy Wengel, Ryan Pineda, and of course Wyatt Tomchek. We were like, who was it that we can't think of? Who is it that we're not thinking? Oh, Wyatt, that's right.
Oh, it was Sean, I forgot. That was the big name I forgot. Like, yeah, Sean's been with us doing the shows for...
Sean, I was trying to protect you. Sorry,
5 years. I mean, geez.
But, you know, back in the South Point days, I used to give the crew, like, I'd be like, okay, food for everybody, whatever. Here, when I try to do a McDonald's, no one's, like, really on the same time schedule, so it doesn't really work out, or I forget, or whatever.
We don't have our office over
or,
here.
You know what I used to do at the South Point? I used to, like, when JB was running the thing, right? I'd be like, okay, let's all go to, like, Rise and Shine and have, like, brunch after the show. And then I realized, I was like, maybe they just don't want to hang out with me, right? There was that, too. So, like, you just think about, like, what can you give the guys and the gals who were here, because Liz left, a lot of people left also. What can we give them for holiday? And so, we're going to give them a futures ticket of their choice. That's what we're going to do. We're going to come up with the terms because we haven't really thought about it, right? But we're going to give the crew a bet of their choice, something into 2024. Or if they want, you know, here in 2023.
Hey, but just make it a dollar amount. Let them
whatever they want. We'll give them a dollar amount. And we'll go from there, and hopefully they cash big. Just a way to say thanks to all that they do.
I put it all on red and then put it on.
Don't do that. Don't do what Kelly told me.
Wouldn't that be the most insultingly awesome thing to
here
do?
Here we go. I'm giving this gift. Kelly's like,
oh, Kelly, thanks, man. Oh,
gosh, you should put it on red first.
I'm going to pump it all into one machine real quick and see what happens.
Anyway, thanks, guys, for all that you do. Try not to put it all on red.
Nah, seriously. We don't. Those guys never get talked about enough. Everybody that works behind the scenes at Visa, it is, like you said, we show up and talk. And it's,
man.
That's a lot of what, that's all we do.
You just come in here looking pretty. That's all you do, man.
It's a tough job. It's a tough job.
All right. We didn't get a chance to give our picks since everybody else was giving theirs on the show. I had that 0-5 in millions a couple weeks ago, and I was right on the cusp of 60% again, and I shot myself in the foot, and I just cannot get there. I want to cash badly, so I've got an outside shot. I'll give you my five Circa Millions plays, and these are five bets that I have in my account. You will recognize three of them from guessing lines, one of which is I'm on the Dolphins, and I know it's down to one. I have the bet. I have it at -1 in my account. That's what it is right now. I don't buy into the whole narrative on the Cowboys here. As Matt Brown has said famously on this show, really the Cowboys pass rush is really generated by one human. Micah Parsons is not really a collective thing. And I think with all the notion of Dolphins having injuries up front, I don't think it's going to matter. I think Tua's going to get rid of the ball quick, and I think those Dolphins wideouts and that speed is going to overwhelm the Cowboys in this game. And I think this is the Dolphins' real big bounce back after that Tennessee debacle a couple weekends ago, which, by the way, even if they win this game, still might haunt them in terms of a playoff position, that Tennessee loss. But I like the Dolphins in this.
Who has more to prove in this game?
The Dolphins do, because they've beaten nobody. At least the Cowboys can say we beat the Eagles, and we probably should have beat them twice. But the Dolphins, I mean, early in the season, they had those two road wins, and we're like, oh, these are two really great wins. But it's just not, it hasn't, this is the Bully Bowl.
Yeah.
This is the Bully Bowl.
No, you're right. The Cowboys at least have the Eagles win.
So the Dolphins are my play. And then my other two that I gave out on guessing lines, I hate because I don't want to live through them. But I just think the numbers, and you were right, Kelly, you were the first person to say this on the show, there is no rush to play them. So I waited till late in the week. Patriots are +7 now at the Broncos, and the Raiders are +10 at the Chiefs. Do I want to live through these? No. But do I think it's just way too big of a number in both cases? I do. And so their plays, sadly, on the Patriots +7 and the Raiders +10. And then the other two to fill out the card, and I have bets on these as well. Matt Brown had both of these picks, so I was happy to hear that earlier. I'm on the Browns, -2.5 in their ballgame. As long as that's below 3, I think, you know.
Look, I think I'll be adding that today. Yeah. I haven't bet it yet, but it's definitely – definitely the side I lean on, lean towards, and yeah, a lot of sharp guys on that side. So
Browns at the Texans, of course, that's going to be Case Keenum and not C.J. Stroud. And then tomorrow, first game, I'm on the Bengals -3. The Bengals traveling to play the Pittsburgh Steelers in, again, a game that the Steelers absolutely have to have, but Jake Browning has surprised us all, including myself, and so Bengals rounding out that card. That's the first of the five. Did them sort of in reverse chronological order, but there you go. What do you got?
Yeah, only don't worry, my card's even shorter. Look at this, only two this week for me.
Wow.
That I've made here so far. I do think I'm going to add the Browns, though. So Browns on here as well. I guess I'm just waiting for what absolute confirmation that C.J. Stroud isn't playing. But the Lions, -3, we talked about that a little bit earlier with Matt. Like he said, I'm kind of glad to see him on that side as well, because, oh boy, is it feels like every sharp group and syndicate and everything I hear of this week with that 3.5, they've been gobbling it up with the Vikings at home. So I laid the 3. I think a lot of what Matt said, we're talking about, you know, Goff being indoors still. It's not an outdoors game situation. We always like to make a big deal about him going on the road and this team looking different, but we're still inside. And I think that the Vikings, just the quarterback carousel that they've been going through, just establishing any consistency offensively, I think it's a tough ask. And then I didn't even get a chance to bring it up with him, but he kept talking about, you know, Matt kept talking about the Niners basically spotting them 30 already, and the other team's making it up. And I'm kind of like, well, that's why I bet what I bet.
Yeah.
And not didn't lay the points or bet the pure game over. I just bet the team total over.
That's one of those
49ers.
Where you're just like, beat me.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's I don't really know. I hope that's a great game, actually,
the
so I can
total,
watch it.
Team total over 26.5 is what he's referring
but
to.
But, yeah, beat me on that. This 49ers offense has been so good.
And if you can, tip of the cap.
Exactly. Yep.
I will be on with Brent Musburger on Sunday, an honor to be on Brent's show before football on Sunday. By the way, the Megapod is out with Frank Schwab as our guest. Check that out on the Beating the Book pod. And Kelly and I, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be here Christmas morning.
Christmas Eve and Christmas for us. Let's go.
Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Happy holidays to all.